Welcome to a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Our speaker is Harold McKay, Bible teacher and author from Greensboro, North Carolina. This is a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible to see what God has to say to us through His Word.
In our present study, number 5 in the series, we come to the subject hindrances to personal evangelism. This could be approached from two opposite directions, hindrances in the soul winner, or hindrances in the soul to be won to Christ. Both would certainly be true, and both would be important. Looking at your manual, you'll note that the former approach is employed, and there are 6 main obstacles in the life of the personal worker that must be overcome before personal evangelism can be effectively carried on. A careful study of the text and of the scripture references will prove most profitable. However, in this lecture, I would like to deal with another hindrance that I have encountered in a number of persons, one that may be keeping some from engaging in this important spiritual exercise. Let me tell you about an experience I had many years ago in a distant part of this country. I was ministering at a summer Bible conference and felt led to speak in the morning session on the words from Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go." The emphasis in the message was on the second time. Sometime later in the day, a Christian asked for an interview. As we talked together, he told of failure in his life, failure that had caused him to give up his labors for the Lord. He had not been present at the morning session, but had heard of the message through others, and he wondered if it would be possible for him to once again become a witness for Christ and a soul winner. Here was one who was hindered through past failure. There had evidently been sincere repentance, confession, and restoration to the Lord. But was it possible to engage again in service for the Lord? I talked with him, as I want now to talk with you, about 3 men whose experiences are recorded in the Word of God. All experienced failure. All were restored to useful lives. First, there was Jonah. He failed through disobedience. He was restored through chastening. Second was Peter. He failed through defeat. He was restored through compassion. Third was John Mark. He failed through departure. He was restored through consideration and care. Jonah knew the will of the Lord. He had been specifically commanded and called to carry the message of the Lord to Nineveh. Whatever motive we may ascribe to his disobedience, whether it was fear, patriotism, or whatever, it was disobedience and could only end in disaster. You're likely familiar with the story of his flight, the storm, the whale, and of Jonah's repentance. There are many lessons of practical value enshrined in this well-known incident, lessons we cannot linger over just now. But suffice it to say, under the chastening hand of his God, Jonah turned to the Lord in true repentance and experienced a remarkable deliverance. That is the end of chapter 2. And chapter 3, as we've seen, opens with the words, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, Arise, go unto Nineveh." Jonah was not only restored, but he was recommissioned. Possibly some of you are aware that you have disobeyed in the past. A clear and unmistakable call came to you, but you rebelled, and you paid the fare for your voyage of disobedience, as Jonah did. But now you hear the voice of the Lord again in your heart, and you are willing to obey. You'll be wise to note that Jonah had to start right back where he disobeyed. Go to Nineveh had been the original commission, chapter 1 and verse 2. And go unto Nineveh was the command of the recommission. God will not compromise. You must be willing to obey implicitly. Then there was Peter. Peter, like many another, failed in his strong point and went down to defeat when his courage failed. Who would ever have thought that big, strong, outspoken Peter would be intimidated by a servant girl. But he was. And we do well to heed the warning, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. How vulnerable we often are in our strong points. Moses, the meek man, spoke unadvisedly with his lips and lost Canaan. Samson, the strong man, lost his strength on Delilah's lap and ended up grinding meal for the enemy. Solomon, the wise man, was made to sin against his God by outlandish women, as we're told in Nehemiah 13, verse 26. And Peter, who declared so confidently, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death, Luke 22:33, went down to ignominious defeat before the accusation of a maid, as we read in verses 56 and 57. But he too, like Jonah, was restored by the compassionate look of Christ. For we read in Luke chapter 22, verses 61 and 62, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came the second time to Peter. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. John 21:16. And restored Peter became the great fisherman of Pentecost, with 3,000 souls in the net. Then there was John Mark, taken by Barnabas and Saul on that first missionary journey, Acts 13:5. Mark failed. So that we read in verse 13, And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. The reason for his departure is not given. It's useless to conjecture. The tragic thing is that he departed from such a glorious mission and went home. What he lost by his departure, only the judgment seat of Christ will reveal. But he too was restored. How good for him that his uncle was Barnabas, the son of consolation. That large-hearted man who felt that the life and usefulness of his nephew could be salvaged, so that we read in Acts 15:39, So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Who was right and who was wrong in the controversy between Paul and Barnabas matters little. Enough to know that in his last epistle, Paul wrote from his cheerless prison cell, Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. 2 Timothy 4:11. Tradition says that Mark became a close friend and confidant of the Apostle Peter, and to the young servant who failed on his first mission was given the high honor of penning the gospel of the perfect servant who never failed. And so, while it's a most serious matter to allow failure to turn us aside from a path of service for God, whether that failure be occasioned by disobedience, defeat, or departure, nevertheless, genuine repentance and restoration can bring renewed opportunity to serve the Lord. Let none succumb to discouragement, but seek the Lord for his restoring grace, and the word of the Lord may come the second time. Where there is a real burden for lost souls, a holy determination to live in victory over sin, a willingness to spend and be spent in the work of the Lord, our gracious God will bless our feeble efforts in his vineyard. Possibly one of the most pernicious hindrances to personal evangelism is unwillingness to start close to home with the small opportunities and the little tasks that lie right at hand. Many wait all their life to engage in something big, when there are multitudes of little tasks waiting to be done. Would D.L. Moody have become the great soul winner he was if he hadn't started with his Sunday school class of ragged urchins? Only God knows. Before me as I speak, there's a picture of Moody with his class, and a motley crew they were indeed. But from that humble beginning, Moody went on to worldwide fame and usefulness. He is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. I strongly recommend the teaching of a Sunday school class as excellent preparation for a wider sphere of service. The discipline of studying to prepare a weekly lesson will develop studious habits, and increase one's knowledge of the Word of God. The answering of questions raised by the children will prepare for the questions asked by adults. And God, who honors faithfulness, will open up wider spheres of service in His time. We're living in a day of organization and planned activity. While there may be benefits accruing from this, there's also the danger of personal initiative being stifled. Many wait for an organized effort to be launched before they attempt anything in the way of personal evangelism. This attitude can well be classed as a real hindrance. Don't wait for a united effort, good as such may be. Launch out into the opportunities that are before you. Among those who were saved at the time I was led to Christ was a young man who became burdened about the people in his home city. Out of his personal income, he purchased tracts and set out early each Sunday morning to place a tract in each home. Although he stood for long hours on his feet 6 days in the week at his regular employment, he kept this Sunday work up until he had covered the entire city twice. Chased away from some front doors, he slipped around to the back to push a tract under the rear entrance. This was real personal evangelism. But how few today are willing to sacrifice an extra hour in bed to engage in such a humble but fruitful service? I knew a young man who was saved and went back to his place of employment witnessing for his newfound Savior. But he was met by such a barrage of questions that it drove him to his Bible for the answers. Setting his alarm clock an hour earlier than usual, he spent that extra hour searching the Scriptures that he might be able to give a correct answer to his questioners at work. His Christian landlady said that each morning, when she heard that early alarm clock ringing, she thought of the words, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Is there any wonder that that young man became an honored servant of Christ, laboring for many years in fruitful service? It costs nothing to become a Christian. It costs much to become the Christian God wants us to be. The greatest hindrance today to personal evangelism is unwillingness to pay the price. God help us all to be willing to sacrifice a little for him who sacrificed himself for our salvation. Thank you.